way thinking mind is the most important. This kind of chance is usually in some difficult situation. When you have some difficulty in your everyday life, I think you will have, you know, there you will have a chance to arise where seeking mind. Once you arise the way seeking mind, your practice is on the track. Watanabe Genshu Zenji, who passed away several years ago, arrived way seeking mind when famous Arai Zenji came to his temple. He was he was a chest maker, or what do you call? He was making, you know. He's not carpenter, was not a carpenter, but he was cabinet maker. He was cabinet maker. And when he went to his temple, you know, to hear Arai Zenji's lecture, or to see him maybe, to see the Zenji, famous Zenji, he aroused a way-seeking mind, and he made up his mind to follow him and asked his family to let him go, and he joined Arai Zenji's order. When he was young, he had a very difficult time at his home, always. But he didn't complain about it. He rather enjoyed his to make cabinets. But Arai Zenji was so great Zen master that he, you know, made up his mind to follow him. And so, you know, he doesn't forget his life in his when he was young. When he became Archbishop of Soji's temple, he still had a big saw, you know, and tools on Tokonuma. And he didn't forget, you know, it's difficult at time when he was young. And he was very grateful for, you know, having difficulties in his early days. Because, you know, because of that, he could join the order and study our way and practice Zazen until he became Archbishop of Soji's temple. He was a unique Archbishop. Of course, when he became Araizenji's disciple, he went, he had some more schooling. He graduated a college called Toyo Daigaku. But that was maybe, I don't know exactly when, but maybe when he was pretty old. The most Zen masters, you know, great Zen masters are the monks who had difficult time in his early life. In Meiji period or late Meiji period, our most famous Zen master is Nishiari Zenji and Morita Zenji, Morita Koyu. Nishiari Zenji became Archbishop of Soji's temple. Morita Zenji became Archbishop of Eihei's temple. They were the monks who had very difficult time when they were young. Morita Zenji joined and went to a Eihei monastery to practice. When he was very young, and when he was leaving his temple, his father was very ill. But knowing that his boy, he cannot take care of his boy, he persuaded his boy to go to Eihei monastery. As you know, Eihei life in Eihei monastery is not so easy, especially for a little boy, maybe 13 or 14. his father must be very good, must have been a very good teacher. To know how important it is to continue his practice. But he had not much money for the boy, so only way is to send him to AH monastery. When he was going, he said, "The first duty you will have at AH monastery will be to, you know, collect rubbishes or garbage, and to hit, you know, big bell. You should know to collect garbage. It's the most important duty in the monastery. The older students will sweep the garden and collect the leaves and garbages at certain time, certain place. So young priests or monks should, you know, collect it." We are told, you know, that even though you sweep the garden, if you don't, you know, collect the garbage in, or take it to the garbage can. In Japan, we had no garbage can, but we had some place to burn the papers and or leaves. If we don't take it to the place, to some certain place, you did, you know, half job, you know, not complete job. 50%. Another 50% is to take it to the place where they burn it. So his father told him that if you take the garbage to some certain place, that means you are doing half of the work, even though you are just one or three people. If you do it, you are doing half of the work, and many and rest of the monks with many heads and hands will do half of it. So you must be proud of your duty, he said to him. And to hit a bell means to hit, to, you know, to give a birth to Buddha. So each time you hit the bell, you know, Buddha will appear. So when you know, at a age, if you go to a age, you should monks bow each time they hit big bell. So with that spirit, you should hit the bell. And he give the boy various instructions like that. Knowing, without knowing, his father was almost dying. He went to a hedge monastery. And he started monastic life. The first morning he hit the great bell, Ekido Zenji, who was at that time the abbot of archbishop of Eheji monastery, asked his disciple, find out who hit the bell this month. I don't know how old Ekido Zenji was at that time. Maybe he was more than 80, maybe almost 90. And he was sitting in his room and hearing the unusual bell. He asked his teacher to find out who it was. And there came the small boy. Ekido Zenji was rather amazed to see such a small boy. He thought some good, well-trained monk will appear. But small boy appeared. So he wondered how he could hit such a nice, good sound. So he asked him, you know, the boy, how did you hit it? And with what kind of, you know, feeling? Did he hit the bell? And he told him, to hit one bell means to give a birth to a Buddha. That was what my father told me. When I was leaving my home for my age monastery, of course, Ekido Zenji was very much impressed by the boy. And he took care of, took good care of the boy until he became a famous Zen master. Nishiyari Zenji is famous for his study of Shobogenzo. And Morita Denji is very famous for his Zazen practice. There are many stories about his Zazen practice. For instance, when he was crossing the narrow between Hokkaido and Honshu Island, they met a big tornado or typhoon. The ship was almost wrecked. All the seamen, all the passengers, and even seamen, including the captain of the boat, became seasick. But Morita Denji, in the corner of the room, was sitting Zazen. He didn't become seasick. And the captain was very much amazed, to see him. And he could eat, And after eating, he went to his cabin practicing Zazen. Since then, captain became a very good, student of Morita Denji. But all those wonderful practice is a result of his difficult practice in his early age at Eheji Monastery. Our life in monastery, is very simple and monotonous. We are repeating same thing every day, over and over. There's nothing to enjoy. So sometimes we do something very foolish, to enjoy. How foolish we are if we find ourselves very foolish. We enjoy our foolishness to eat radish without cooking. Just, when we are carrying radish, without washing, without even washing, pulling out the radish and scratch the dirt out sometimes that is not interesting enough for us. So late at night, when they are, you know, when they are fast asleep, you know, we, you know, cook it by bucket or something outside of the monastery. But once you cook radish, smell is awful. All monastery will, you know, filled with the smell of the radish. Of course, we know, you know, we will be easily found out. But, you know, to do it is a most important part. And if we are scolded, that is another, you know, something, you know, we have something more. They may scold us. Okay, let's do it. Our life in the monastery is so simple and so monotonous. We cannot work fast. You know, we should always work slowly without making noise. We cannot talk loudly. If you enter someone's room, the head of the room will see you from your feet to your up to your head. He will check you, you know. If you have some reason, it is very difficult to stay. Maybe recently, you know, their masters want them to be a priest, good priest. So even though they don't want, they themselves don't want to stay at Eheji, because their teacher, you know, or their master want them to stay at Eheji. So that is maybe why they stay there for 1 year or so. But no more, not more than that. Most people feel in that way. So I think we have so many students here, but I don't know how many of you will stay with us. I don't know how many. If you have good reason to stay here, you will stay. But if you haven't not much reason, I don't know. But what I'm saying right now is, when you have when you want to be Buddhist. It is necessary for you. To see our everyday life more carefully. Danger and precarious life. We cannot trust people in city so much. Nothing is permanent or reliable in our society. If so, you know, someone should become a reliable person, you know, trustworthy person. Or else, you know, whole society will be lost. If it's hard, when it is hard, we need big tree under which we have cool wind. When it rains, we need someone who has umbrella. When you see a human life carefully, you will find out how important it is. To become trustworthy person. It is not necessary to be a great man, but we should be good enough to help our neighbors. So purpose of Buddhism, we say, to help themselves and to help others. Why it is so is, it is actually our neighbor wants some help in some way. I said to carry, to collect the garbage to the garbage can. It's half of the job, whole job, you know. But we are liable to, you know, ignore to carry the garbage to the garbage can. We are liable to ignore something which is some duty which is dirty, which is not pleasant. We are liable to ignore clean the corner of the room. If everyone ignore to clean the corners of the room will be filthy pretty soon. Because someone do it. Our room is always clean and we feel very good in a clean room. There is many, you know, liable to temper in our human life, you know. We are liable to do this, to be like this, to be like that. Many liable to. Many up to. Someone must work hard so that we, all of us, can enjoy our life. Maybe our Zazen practice is the practice which most people do not like so much. We shouldn't try to attain even enlightenment. You should be there on the black cushion for 2 days without any reason why. There's no liable to. Just to be there, that is why you practice Zazen. When you can do this kind of practice, if you can do Shikantaza without expecting anything, I think you can do almost everything which is necessary. With this spirit, when you have this spirit, you will attain enlightenment. But without this spirit, the enlightenment you will have is one of the liable to. You will expose your weakness. That's all. There's no true, you know, human nature appear. But you will have it's just, you know, force superficial attainment, which is not true. So final strength will be attained by just sitting. After experiencing, starting from various difficulties, the difficulties we have is not actually difficult enough. Just to sit on the cushion is the most difficult thing, as you experience. I think you know how difficult it is just to sit on the black cushion. With a true spirit, you cannot do that. So, if you, you know, have a chance to arise their way-seeking mind, we should start shikantaza. So for people who has no way-seeking mind, who wants some encouragement, who wants some candy, we have to give some candy. But it is, you know, we should be ashamed of being fooled by candy. Our world is not so easy, you know, and we are foolish enough to be fooled by candy. We are critical with others, and mostly with ourselves, very critical. We cannot accept ourselves so easily. That is why we practice zazen. This time I started doksan, but maybe, you know, better to be concentrated on just practice of zazen. Anyway, I don't think I can finish doksan for all the students in 2 days, so I almost gave up. Well, I think it's much better to just sit with you. Thank you very much.